In an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
We're back, better than ever, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech, one of 34 undefeated teams in college football after 3 weeks. Beck, big game coming up this weekend in Baton Rouge, taking on the LSU Tigers, who are having one heck of a season themselves.
I wish we had something to talk about tonight, Ben.
Yeah, not a whole lot on the agenda. Not a whole lot. Next thing I know, you're going to be pulling for LSU this weekend with the way you've been going these past
no,
few weeks.
Never.
Well, I just want to preface the show by saying one thing. I absolutely despise the Tigers from LSU. And
are we far enough north for you to say that?
Yes. Okay. And we are a Louisiana Tech radio show repping the Dogs. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm gonna look at everything objectively.
As you always do.
Yeah. But if I cross the line tonight, here it is. I apologize. I'm sorry. You can call me. You can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Louisiana Tech and LSU, the sixth-ranked Tigers. I'm excited for this matchup this weekend. I know that a lot of people aren't giving Tech a chance in you know what, but I can't wait to watch.
I'm going down there.
Are you?
I'm going down there. I'll be sitting in the end zone with the Tech faithful.
Yeah, the worst seats in the stadium.
Yep. I'll be there, though.
But you'll be there.
I'll be there.
We'll look for your analysis next weekend, and yeah, you'll say, the binoculars weren't working too good.
I actually think we're in the lower bowl. So.
Yeah, well, you can't see anything on the opposite end of the field when you're sitting in the end zone, but that's all right. Bleed Tech Blue coming at you live from Tiger Stadium.
I mean, let me just point out your commitment to Bleed Tech
Blue.
Yeah,
point it out.
Because I asked you if you wanted to go. I may or may not have had an extra ticket. I said, Ben, you want to go? And you said, Tech faithful needs me on post-game radio. That's what you said.
Yeah, and I said, do you want to go to North Texas the following week with me? And you're like, no. I would rather stay home. So guess what? Look at it one of two ways. Either I'm skipping the LSU game or you're skipping the North Texas game, or we can look at it.
Bleed Tech Blue is going to be at both.
That's right. That's right. Now, let's thank our sponsors. We wouldn't be on the air without them.
That's right, Ben. We got Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen of Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends over at O'Neill Gas. Thank you, and thank you.
Yeah, and we'd like to thank our title sponsor as well, First National Bank. Without any of you, we wouldn't be able to do this show. A lot to talk about tonight. 6:30, we'll be joined by Sam Spiegelman, TigerDetails.com of the Rivals Network. Sam will be able to provide us with some incredible insight on LSU. I know I saw yesterday that he got to make it out to practice. LSU's on a high right now. You can look at it however you want to look at it. LSU's playing a lot better than most teams or most people expected them. The national experts, better than I thought. After they won week one against Miami, I really don't think Miami's quarterback's that good. Rozier has... he's struggled throughout his career, but you go on the road, you win at Auburn. Kudos. Great, great win
that
for
was,
Coach O.
That was a win, I'll tell you that. Now,
when you come back, too, as well, in the fourth quarter.
Two things. My biggest two takeaways, all I'm going to say about the game, and only because they jumped from 25-6. Is that right? LSU did?
Yeah.
Okay, this is my two things I'm going to say. Number one,
I think they were 12 last week, but they started the season 25.
You're right, correct.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to say. Auburn shot themselves in the foot. That was terrible.
Yeah.
They played soft at the end of the game. And the other side of that is LSU didn't shoot themselves in the foot. No turnovers.
Well, and you point out that LSU didn't shoot themselves in the foot, and I was at the Skip Holtz weekly press conference today, and that's one thing he talked about with LSU. You know,
they have no turnovers yet.
Yeah, not the only team in FBS without a turnover. And you can sit here and we'll get into it more later about Joe Burrow only completing 46% of his throws. But when your defense is allowing 12 points a game, you don't have to score 70 every week.
Right.
They run the football. They don't make mistakes. They play field position. They got a really good punter.
Which we haven't been able to say about LSU in the past couple of years. So
no, yeah,
it was efficient football, and they capitalized on Auburn playing soft.
Yeah,
but on the other side of that, Ben, that they're not like that gives me a little hope for this weekend.
I'll tell you one thing, and I've said it multiple times. LSU is not going to come into this game this weekend and just beat the brains out of Tech.
Right,
it's not happening. Now it'll happen if Tech turns it over four times and gives them a chance. But we saw with LSU 2 weeks ago. They beat Southeastern 31-0. Yeah, you shut them out. That's outstanding defense throughout the night. But 31-0 is not terrible.
And Southeastern is.
Yeah, that's not 66-7 or whatever Alabama decided to do to Ole Miss. They can pretty much name their score. And talking a little bit more about that Auburn-LSU game, I don't mean to harp on coaches every week. I'm pretty hard on Mike Sanford at Western Kentucky. We'll talk some Conference USA in a little bit. Big bounce back week for the league. But Gus Malzahn does a poor job at adapting to Jarrett Stidham at quarterback.
I agree.
Jarrett Stidham is a drop back passer, and he's sitting here running all these RPOs. It's hard to watch, especially when he doesn't have an NFL running back like Kerryon Johnson back there anymore. Right. But anyways. I digress. Some more headlines from this week. Did you have a chance to watch any NFL action?
I did, all day.
Well, what'd you learn from the former Bulldogs?
Well, I didn't see one on the field.
Who?
Carlos Henderson.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We talked last week about how he got on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, I believe he was released like
2 days later.
Yeah, on Thursday. And tough for him. I don't know if he'll get another chance, but I sure
it's tough to get another chance when you never proved yourself in the league.
In the first place. As a third-round draft.
But we hope he does well. Kenneth Dixon placed on injured reserve.
Yeah, so he'll be out at least 8 weeks for the Ravens.
What was the diagnosis?
From what I heard, he had a little scope on his knee, just cleaning some stuff up. Same knee that he injured last year when he tore his meniscus, I believe.
I got to believe he's close to the last straw.
I got to believe if he has knees anything like you, he might not be back.
That's probably true. Kentrell Bryce had 4 tackles against the Vikings for Green Bay in Week 2. He is playing exceptional.
Yep.
And starting.
Speaking of the Packers and the Vikings, let me just pull a tie. I get so sick.
Real quick, 10 seconds. Do you think there should be ties in the
no,
NFL?
No. It's ridiculous.
What is it?
Let's give them all a trophy.
What? I just think they need to do another quarter or something.
Yeah.
25-yard line shootout. Anyways.
Yeah.
Tremont Williams. Also for the Green Bay Packers.
Had 5 tackles.
5 tackles. Beat out his fellow Tech.
Yep.
Alumni.
Oh, I also saw this weekend that Jelly Bean Ellis has some type of foot injury. He's going to cause him to miss 3 or 4
weeks. Jelly!
He's one of the heavier players in the league, and foot injury can't be good for the old physique.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
What else you got, Ben?
3-star. Looking at the recruiting side of things, Tech picked up a commitment from 3-star cornerback Christian Archangel. How about that for a name?
Are you sure it's not Archangel?
Well, are we here?
Arc or Arch?
Are we here to break down my grammar? Or are we here to let our listeners know that Tech added a 3-star prospect, Mr. Archangel?
Are you optimistic about him?
Yes, I think he's a really good prospect. He was on campus at Tech earlier this summer for camp, performed exceptionally well. He also has offers from Memphis, Rice, Southeastern, and Tulsa. Really good player, 6'1", could play cornerback or safety.
Wow.
You see Tech with Legarius Sneed getting those bigger corners. I think that's a really good pickup for the Dogs.
Well, based on the Dogs' history to recruit a cornerback, if they like him, I got faith in him.
Yeah, Amik Robertson, if you never heard the name. Pretty good player.
And I think a great thing about Amik is that
we have a text on the text line going back to the NFL. Right. Richie, will they let the Super Bowl or the playoffs end in a tie? Hell, might as well.
Do you know what they do?
I guess they keep on playing.
They have to.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they let both teams go into the next week. I'm not sure.
Back to my point. I think Amik's really good for Tech, not just in the cornerback department, but also for Skip to be able to point to and be like, look, you come to Tech, you play first year.
Yep.
You can make a difference.
Yep.
You can be a superstar.
That's right. That's right. And you mentioned playing in your first year when you come to Tech as a true freshman. Skip Holtz says, press conference, Tech reveals their depth chart for LSU this week. Courtney Wallace, big 330-pound defensive tackle from Neville, will be back for the first game for his first game of the season this week at LSU. Certainly a big addition to the Tech defensive line against an LSU team that, you know, they're really going to try to run it at Tech, run it right down Tech's throat. A text on the Tech Sun said that BC probably
strike out.
Could it? Could not.
Probably couldn't strike out, Coach O.
Well, if I could strike out, Coach O, I sure wouldn't hear what he was
ben,
saying.
Ben, you want to give us the top three players that you ever struck out?
Aaron Judge.
Who else?
I don't know who
No,
else.
What's the guy that was in the Home Run Derby?
Yeah, that's Judge.
No, the other guy. You told him, you used to say...
Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins.
Yeah, Reese Hoskins don't want none either. Anyways, talking about Tech's depth chart this week, notable names missing. Two freshman wide receivers, Wayne Toussaint and Smoke Harris. We reported on BleedTechBlue.com last week that we reported that Toussaint was 90% going to redshirt. We reported that it was, you know, pretty good chance that Smoke Harris might as well. What are your thoughts on Smoke Harris potentially redshirting?
Well, Skip touched on today in the press conference. He's not on the depth chart this week. He even talked about that a little bit. He's already played in two games. He only has two games left. I agree.
My take is
it's like he could have an impact this year, but could he have a bigger impact the
when
next
he's 23
four
years
right,
old?
Right,
as a fifth year senior.
Right. So I think Skip's initial desire for him was to be kick returning. That may have pushed him over into playing this year a lot more. Now,
Tech's return units haven't
you can't even blame Smoke. I mean, we've been to the games. Smoke has gotten annihilated instantly, but that's not Smoke, I don't think. That's just how terrible or just really how specially bad the special teams are. So I think Skip's saying, hey, we're just going to pull him out of that situation right now so he doesn't get hammered. We got two games left. If we decide we need him later in the year or something happens in practice and with injuries and we need him, then we can use him. But for now, we're pulling him out of this game and on the depth chart. But he didn't say he wouldn't play this week.
He just said, you know, there's probably a pretty good chance that they're going to hold on to him right now. Like you said, he's got two games left. We'll see what he can do in the future. As far as what's coming up later in the show, Beck, the next segment might be my favorite segment of the show. We're going to compare the coaching matchup between Skip Holtz and Ed Orgeron.
Right. I mean, we talk about players all day long. Here we go.
Who's the better coach, Ed Orgeron or Skip Holtz?
You answer that.
We'll find out in the next segment. But anyway, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk with Sam Spiegelman at 6:30, 6:45. We're going to talk about our expectations for the matchup with LSU. I think sometimes expectations can be blown a little bit out of proportion. I also have a pretty solid message for Tech fans. I keep reading all this mess that says Tech's going to lose by 100. Well, I got some news for you. They're not. At 7 o'clock, we'll take a look around Conference USA. Last week, I spent about 30 minutes just bashing the conference. They bounced back in a big way. So anyways, when we get back, we'll talk about the coaching matchup between Skip Holtz and Ed Orgeron. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get all the scores and much more on Sports Talk 97.7 weekdays. Local Sports Talk starts with The Morning Drive with Aaron Dietrich and Jake Martin, 7 to 9 a.m. The Edge with Terry Waldrop follows at 9 a.m. And The Sports Company with Sean Fox, 3 to 6 p.m. Saturdays, it's The Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Then get the scores from Friday night with Mark Kramer and Terry Waldrop starting at 10. Your local sports and Fox Sports Radio Network is on Sports Talk 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech, LSU in Baton Rouge, a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, 6 p.m. ESPNU. I hear there's nothing better than a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. We'll find out how the Dogs will fare. Beck, Tech opened up as a 22-point underdog. I think I saw Massey had this game finishing up 35-7. Your early thoughts on a 22-point spread? I think it's
me and Tate, that's a little wide.
You think?
I do.
I think it's pretty accurate.
Do you?
Yeah. I do.
I think it's a little wide.
We'll give our score predictions later on, but I think a 22-point, that's about where I thought it would be. But looking at the coaching matchup,
Ben, we talk a lot about players. Everybody knows LSU is going to get the higher recruited players most of the time.
Without a doubt. Except
so we're
for
not
me.
Even going to talk about it. Yeah. We could talk all day about how LSU's twos compared to our twos, Tech's twos.
Yeah.
We could talk about it, but you guys know that already.
Yeah. We want to fill you in.
What the Tigers don't have is the heart that the Bulldogs have.
Yeah, they ain't got
so
no
bark.
We can't
even compare apples to oranges. So we're going to talk about the coaches.
Who do you want to hear about first?
All right,
Skip Holtz?
No, we're going to save him for last.
All right. Ed Orgeron. Let's hear it.
No. Oh. I'm going to start with the coordinators.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Well, yeah, let's hear it.
All right. LSU offensive coordinator, Steve Ensminger. Tech offensive coordinator, Todd Fitch. Who do you got?
I think this one's pretty easy. When you look at what Ensminger has done in his – Well, I know.
Tell me what he's done, Ben.
Well, I can tell you in his first 8-game stint as offensive coordinator, when LSU finally got rid of the disaster Cam Cameron, who I'm not sure has gained positive yards on a play since he left the Tigers, Ensminger did a phenomenal job. He recently spent time, or not recently, but in the past he spent time as offensive coordinator at Tech, so there's a tie there. His son, Steven Ensminger, played for Tech back in the early days of Sonny Dykes. Played a little bit of wide receiver. I know he was actually supposed to be the starting quarterback for that first game of the Dykes era. Never panned out. But when you look at Todd Fitch, I think what Todd Fitch brings to the table for Tech is he doesn't call the play. So he's up in the booth, you know, really letting Skip know what he's seeing as Skip calls the plays. But I would say Steve Ensminger at this point is the better coordinator when you look at the offensive side of the ball.
So Ensminger's calling plays. Ensminger's calling plays.
Yeah, he's calling the plays. Okay. Ed Orgeron's trusting him. The Tigers got rid of Matt Canada. Canada's doing some good things at Maryland. But I'll give the advantage to old Steve Ensminger.
All right.
The ageless wonder.
Defensive coordinator. LSU's got Dave Aranda.
Oh, yeah, Aranda.
Tight. Tech has the double B, Blake Baker.
I'll tell you, this is interesting, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Blake Baker is a better coordinator than Dave Aranda. One little-known fact about Dave Aranda. Remember when Tech was 9-1?
I remember.
And if they beat Utah State, they're, you know, likely headed for the Orange Bowl.
Right.
You know who the D coordinator was for Utah State?
Tell me.
Dave Aranda.
Wow.
Yeah, Colby Cameron couldn't handle him that night. But anyways, Dave Aranda's the highest-paid coordinator in the country. LSU's defense might be the best in the country. They fly around sideline to sideline. You look at Rashard Lawrence from Neville, a defensive end, defensive tackle. You look at, you know, Devin White out of nearby North Webster and Spring Hill. He's likely a first-round pick at linebacker. And then you look at Greedy Williams out of your high school, Calvary Baptist. He's likely a first-round pick as well. So sometimes the players can make you look a little better than they really are. But Dave Aranda is a really good coordinator.
Okay, that was my question. How much of this is – you give Blake Baker
I don't know.
Those guys.
Dave Aranda's a genius.
He is, but think about what Blake did to Tech's offense or defense.
I know.
I mean, they were like the worst in the country.
And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you.
In the country, Ben.
Beck, I know. You don't have to tell me twice.
We had to score 150 points a game just to win.
Yeah, speaking of 150 points, did you see South Dakota State scored 90 on the SWAC Arkansas Pine Bluff?
That was brutal. Said the SWAC's better than Conference USA, so you're probably right.
Yeah, well, the SWAC had a rough one that week. But anyways, looking at Blake Baker in his fourth year as defensive coordinator, he's done a phenomenal job at Louisiana Tech. There was various schools, one in Lafayette, that was really itching for Baker to come down there. Good thing the dude's not crazy, because that's a career killer. But I think Blake Baker is destined for a P5 job after this year.
Really?
Especially if Tech's defense performs up to its expectations. The way he's built this unit over the past, 2016, they were the worst in the country. Look to 2018, they're probably a top 40, 45 defense.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal job at building not only depth at all three levels, but the talent level has stepped up in a major way. Blake Baker has done a phenomenal job for the Tech defense. But for now, I'm going to say Dave Aranda. Blake Baker want to get his name on the map, shut the Tigers down on Saturday night, and then I'll come back and I'll eat some lunch next Tuesday night.
All right. So right now you have LSU coordinators 2-0 versus Tech. So let me step it up to the head coach. I just have a feeling you may have a different opinion. We got LSU head coach Ed Orgeron.
Let's call him Coach O.
Coach O.
Coach O.
You got Tech head coach, son of a legend,
Skip Holtz.
Let me tell you about Coach O on Tell the Truth Monday. Take some time and perfect your craft on Tuesday. You get the point.
When you look at Ed Orgeron's coaching career, his stops have been brief. No stop has been better than his stop at LSU, and I'm going to give the man some credit. Entering this season, I thought the dude was on the hot seat. And you look at the schedule for LSU, it's brutal. Ed has never been a coordinator at any level. A little odd that he ended up getting head coaching jobs.
So what, assistant coach?
Yeah, he's just been a D-line coach, recruiting coordinator. Phenomenal recruiter. He spent time at Northwestern State, McNeese State, Arkansas, Miami of Florida, Nichols, Syracuse, USC, Ole Miss, the Saints, Tennessee, USC, and LSU. Dude's been around the block.
He's been around.
He's been coaching for 34 years. He's known as that rah-rah type guy. Especially back in his Ole Miss day. The kind of guy that would walk into the locker room and just rip his shirt off and say, "Boys, let's go to war." Well, it didn't work out at Ole Miss. 10-25 overall. Then he's at USC. Lane Kiffin, good friend of ours, friend of the program, gets fired. Orgeron takes over, finishes that year 6-2 as the interim head coach. Did a really good job. Phenomenal job. Nearly got the head coaching job before they hired Clay Helton. And then when you look at what he's done at LSU, he was 6-2 as the interim coach in 2016. Then they still try to run him out of town. He's probably, the fourth or fifth choice. I know they were flirting with Tom Herman. Thank God they didn't end up with him, because he's terrible at Texas. So he gets hired before the 2017 season. LSU goes 9-4. They lose a bowl game to Notre Dame. And now they're off to a 3-0 start in 2018. So he's 24-8 at LSU. That's pretty solid. Is he the next Nick Saban? No. You don't think so?
No. But I will say he was on the hottest of seats. And you saw they showed a little clip of him right when the game ended at Auburn. You see how pumped up he was?
Yeah, he was
like beating
up.
His chest, because he just kept his job.
I don't blame him.
For another week.
And good on him for turning it around. Good on him for, finding him an offensive coordinator that he trusts. Good on him for keeping Dave Aranda around when multiple schools were after him. Orgeron, Coach O, has done a phenomenal job in Baton Rouge for the Tigers.
You say he's a good recruiter, and he recruited his coordinators to stay in Baton Rouge.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, they got to believe in something down there.
Yeah, that's one heck of a recruiting job.
We'll see if he's on the hot seat after Tech takes it to him Saturday night.
Yeah, and you talk about, why is he a better recruiter? Here's what he told The Athletic. When he took over at LSU, he felt like they had to shift the focus in recruiting. They had to stay away from the five-star, not saying they couldn't recruit them, but they had to recruit guys that were tougher, more athletic kids. And I think that's what you see. I think in week three win against Auburn, I think they had seven players on the offensive side of the ball start that weren't there 2 years ago when he took over. So he's done a really good job at LSU. All right, I'm done gushing over Ed Orgeron. He's done a good job. Let's move on to Skip Holtz.
What do you got?
All right, when you look at Skip Holtz, Skip's in his 31st year as a coach. His sixth year at Louisiana Tech, where he's 40-28 overall. You want me to pull out the stat? Where when's the last time Tech has won this many
Please,
games?
Please, do you have it in your back pocket?
I'm sure.
You bluffing?
34 games the last 4 years. Make it 36 if you count these two this year. He spent time at Florida State, Colorado State, Notre Dame, where he's the offensive coordinator. Before, you know, he went to Connecticut as a head coach. I think he was the OC at South Carolina under his father, Lou. East Carolina as a head coach, where he won two Conference USA championships. South Florida was the one, you know, rough patch for him. Not many people realize how much he had to rebuild that program from just a personnel standpoint. They didn't have the greatest of character on that team. And now he's done a great job at Louisiana Tech. Overall, 34-23 at Connecticut, 38-27 at East Carolina, 16-21 at South Florida, and 40-28, like I mentioned, at Louisiana Tech. He's 6-3 in bowl games. He was a 2016 Conference USA Coach of the Year. And he has also coached Chris Johnson and Kenneth Dixon. You know who Chris Johnson is?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good NFL running back. Back in the day, ran the fastest 40 I'd ever seen. I believe it was the fastest anyone had ever seen. But anyways, talking a little bit more about Skip Holtz. I think that Skip catches a lot of flack at Louisiana Tech, which I think is absolutely downright ridiculous. When was the last time Tech could sit here and say year in and year out they expected to win a conference championship? I've been following this program for 27 years, and don't get me wrong, there have been years where Tech's had good years where they've gone 9-2, or, you know, the next year they went 3-9.
Right.
Skip is winning every year. We have a text from Patrick. Are you comparing play calling or all aspects of coaching? I'm comparing all aspects, and that's why I'm going to sit here and tell you that Skip Holtz is a better head coach than Ed Orgeron. Because I think that Skip can do it at a multitude of levels. You look at the stabilization he's brought to this Tech program. You look at what he's done from a recruiting standpoint. You look at this end zone project and the suites that we get to sit in the press box for 5 minutes every week. Patrick says that's baloney that he's a better head coach. Patrick, you're wrong. You're wrong. Skip Holtz is a better coach than Ed Orgeron. If Ed Orgeron was such a great coach, he would have spent time as a coordinator. He wouldn't have backed his way into a few jobs. Plain and simple. Plain and simple.
So you're saying Skip as a whole
is a better coach. If you go up to Ed Orgeron and you say, Coach, tell me what happens offensively when you call Spider 2 Y Banana. You think he's going to know what I'm talking about? No, he's not.
He's an X's and O's guy. You think he's a recruiter and a rah-rah guy?
No, I'm not going to even say he's a rah-rah guy anymore. I just think he's great at managing his team.
More of a team administrator.
Yes, and that's exactly what they need in Baton Rouge. There's nothing wrong with that. He's
because
done a great
of the,
job.
Because of the level of the coordinators that you're going to be able to pull at a school like that?
Yeah, he's 24-8, and he's 24-8, and they're potentially competing for an SEC and national championship this year. Give me a break. He's done a good job, but, Richie, I'm not high. But anyways, Skip Holtz is a better coach, plain and simple.
Well, I needed you to redeem something because you picked LSU two times in a row in the coaching In the coaching battle.
Yeah. Give me Skip Holtz. You can have Ed Orgeron. You give Skip Holtz two of the best or the best defensive coordinator in the country, and he'll be just fine as well. Anyways, let's get to our next timeout. After the break, we'll be joined by Sam Spiegelman of TigerDetails.com to preview the matchup between LSU and Louisiana Tech. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Ram Power Days are here at Brennan Dodge, and the fastest growing truck brand in America is offering incredible savings. Get an 18 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorn and save $13,000 off MSRP. Get an 18 Ram 1500 Quad Cab for only $22,900. Save $8,000 on the all new Ram 1500 Crew Longhorn or Limited, and save $9,000 on the all new Ram 1500 Crew Laramie. Don't miss Ram Power Days at the all new Brennan Dodge, 1301 North Service Road, Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech travels to Baton Rouge this weekend to take on LSU at 6 p.m. Saturday night inside Tiger Stadium. And to preview the matchup, we are joined on the Fairway Carts Hotline by Sam Spiegelman of TigerDetails.com. How are you doing tonight, Sam?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Let's jump right into things, Sam. When you look at this LSU team off to a 3-0 start, number six in the country, entering this season, I know that, you know, many viewed LSU as the ultimate wild card in the SEC and really in the country. People knew that the Tigers were talented. Joe Burrow was an unknown at quarterback. What have you learned about the Tigers through the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. It was a season where you could see them winning four, five, or six games, or as many as 10, and it seems like through the first three games they're capable of winning 10 or maybe exceeding that. It really surprising not only the local media, but even the national media. What have I learned? You know, that even though they've had some issues along the offensive line, they have a lot of people able to contribute. We saw it by moving Austin Deculus to right tackle and having Sadiq Charles back in the lineup, that this unit has two capable bookend tackles, and that pairs well with a really talented interior crew inside. And even behind them, you have some depth in guys like Cason Hines, who came off the bench and played really, really well against Auburn in his first real action and left guard behind Bruiser, who's a senior leader of this group. Defensively, we're learning that Jacob Phillips, compared with Devin White, who's already an All-American, gives LSU one of the best 1-2 punches in the middle of their defense. And their secondary, which was one of the more perplexing units on this team heading into the season, is definitely the strength of probably the entire team. We knew about Grady Williams. We know about their veteran safety, John Battle. But Christian Fulton is back. Kelvin Joseph is rotating with him. Terrence Alexander, a grad transfer, is playing serious snaps. Jacoby Stevens, a former five-star safety, is playing safety, linebacker, nickel. Kerry Vincent is a contributor. And Grant Delpit is a bona fide superstar that's drawing comparisons to NFL Hall of Famers now, which means that they're usually five or six DBs on the field at the same time, close to the line of scrimmage, back deep, playing press man, playing a nickel, and that has become probably the most stable units on this team. So we've learned a lot about LSU and about its strengths
And you look at this LSU offense, I know the numbers, you know, from a yards per game standpoint haven't been gaudy by any means, but Joe Burrow really seems to bring a calming presence to this offense. When you look at his completion percentage, it's 46%. I know there's been six drops, I think, when you look at the Pro Football Focus numbers. But going forward, is the expectation that he is good enough to potentially lead this Tiger team to an SEC championship?
Yeah, I don't think this LSU offense is going to put up gaudy numbers, you know, things you'd expect from a fantasy team, you know, with a few exceptions when they play weaker opponents here and there, you know, when they play Ole Miss or when they go to Florida, I think they'll shine. But for the most part, I think what we saw against Auburn is exactly what LSU expects on offense. I think, you know, if he completes 50 or so percent of his passes, that might be enough. They have a solid running attack. It's not what we're used to with Leonard Fournette or Darius Geis, but it's a really good offensive line that's really good at run blocking. And Nick Brossette and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are really talented running backs. They're not bona fide superstars, but they're really good running backs. Joe Burrow is a glorified playmaker, and I don't mean that in any negative sense of the word. I think when for years people have said LSU, with all the talent that they have at the skill positions, all they need is a quarterback to make the big throw every now and then. Now, Joe Burrow has proven that he's capable of doing that. He's extremely accurate, which is why Steve Ensminger wanted him to win this quarterback job. He makes really smart decisions. He picks up extra yards when he runs the ball, and he does not turn the ball over. LSU leads the SEC in a +7 turnover ratio, which is an emphasis of Coach Orgeron, especially this year. He's just able to get the ball into his playmaker's hands and make that big throw on third down or when they need a 71-yard pass downfield, and he's been able to do that time and time again. He has enough leadership to call audibles at the line of scrimmage. He's done everything that you'd expect from an LSU quarterback, and then probably a little bit more, even though the statistics aren't showing, you know, an SEC-leading passer with a 67% completion percentage. I just don't think that's in his DNA.
And entering this season, there was a lot of talk about the freshman wide receivers and Ja'Marr Chase and Terrace Marshall and the impact they were going to have on the offense. But to this point, it's really been the older guys. When you look at Justin Jefferson, Steven Sullivan, Dee Anderson, Derek Dillon, those four guys in particular that have really, you know, stabilized this receiving core early on.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson, true sophomore. Last year, he surprised many that he was one of the contributors in the wide receiver rotation, and he's really emerged as the number one wide receiver for this team, and that started when Burrow arrived. He called all the wide receivers to work out multiple times throughout the week, and then him and Jefferson clearly developed the chemistry that shows on Saturdays. Behind him, I think you see a combination of plays from Ja'Marr Chase, and really Stephon Sullivan has emerged over the last two games, and Derek Dillon came off a drop play game against Miami to make the biggest play of the game against Auburn. Dee Anderson was rarely involved his first two seasons in Baton Rouge, and he's emerged as a big play, big playmaker down the field and a reliable third and fourth down target. There's still room to grow in that department. Ja'Marr Chase, he made a huge play against Miami, did the same thing the week later against Southeastern. I think he'll have a role on Saturday against Tech. I think the same goes for Terrace Marshall, who's obviously a five-star talent. I think he just needs to get more comfortable playing at the college level. And then Jonathan Giles is wearing number 7 for LSU, but we really get to see what he's capable of. I thought he would provide LSU with a vertical threat and kind of that slot playmaker, and that's yet to transpire yet, but I still think the season is young and he could contribute. So they really have a very deep of 6, 7, or 8 receivers that are capable of playing and making an impact on a given Saturday.
And you shift things over to the defensive side of the ball, and, you know, the names that you hear all the time are, you know, Rashard Lawrence, Devin White, rightfully so, an All-American at linebacker, Greedy Williams, a future NFL first-round pick, but it can definitely be argued that Grant Delpit, and you mentioned him a little bit earlier, has been the MVP of this defense so far.
Yeah, you know, Dave Aranda's in his third year as LSU's defensive coordinator, and he is just going in and bringing all the tricks and trades out of the playbook. He's got Grant Delpit playing close to the line of scrimmage at strong safety. From there, he can either cover out of the backfield, he can cover a tight end, he can cover a slot receiver, or they can send him on blitzes. That's kind of been his forte through three games. He's extremely physical on his run defense, but he can also drop back as a free safety and play center field. We saw him kind of jump around against Auburn. I think that Auburn game was really a coming out party for Delpit, a kid who's originally from New Orleans, displaced by Katrina. And I think his versatility to do, you know, six or seven things really, really well is kind of been a theme for that whole entire secondary, because Kobe Stevens has been used in a lot of different ways, Terrence Alexander, Kerry Vincent. They've all kind of followed suit in the Delpit mold. And I think for Dave Aranda, who's so used to kind of molding linebackers and developing a pass run, having Delpit succeed at the level that he has is a major plus for LSU. They lost its top bench linebacker and edge rusher Caleb on Chase on right after the Miami game, and Delpit has helped kind of make up for that loss so far.
Sam, LSU just jumped from 12 to number 6 in the country. Tech's coming to town. What do you expect attendance-wise? You think it's a sellout? Do you think it's a less attended game because of how LSU fans tend to view Tech? What is your expectations for that?
You know, if they had lost against Auburn, I would probably not expect a sellout, but because the state of Louisiana is rallying around LSU right now, I expect the full crowd to be on hand for this game. Obviously, Tech has athletes from all over the state on its roster. Baton Rouge is kind of a center mark for a lot of Tech fans and their families to travel to Tiger Stadium, and you know, because the national media is talking about LSU in a very positive way right now, I think the fans are going to jump on board. I mean, the crowd was relatively empty against Southeastern 2 weeks ago. I expect to pull a 180 and to be a packed crowd on Saturday night in Death Valley.
Your keys to the game for LSU on Saturday night?
I think for LSU, just like after the Miami game, they need to focus on not having a down performance. You don't want to overlook La Tech because, you know, that's a team that I think is the second-best team behind LSU in the state. The way they recruit, they get just incredibly high-potential-laden talent. I mean, you got guys like Amik Robertson that LSU wanted a couple of years ago, and then he's a bona fide superstar, future NFL player as well. So there's way less room for error against La Tech than there was against Southeastern because there's a superior talent on that roster. Again, you know, there's been a lot of guys that before the season LSU wanted or at least expected to have big roles, and I think playing against La Tech at home after the Auburn game gives a chance for guys like Jonathan Giles to kind of have a coming out party. I think the same goes for a guy like Thaddeus Moss, who's yet to make his LSU debut, and he's practicing in full. And with John Battle being ejected in the second half against Auburn, he's going to miss the first half against La Tech. I think that opens the door for another one of these young defensive backs on LSU's roster or one of these reserves to kind of maybe play a bigger role. You know, a guy like whether it's Todd Harris or Jacoby Stevens or Terrence Alexander or Kerry Vincent, take advantage of that opportunity and make sure that there's room. And then lastly, LSU continuing to bolster its pass rush. As I mentioned, Chaseon is out for the year. They've had, you know, Divinity missed the game against Southeastern. I think just kind of continuing that chemistry at mixing and matching in that bench linebacker role and making sure they have a pass rush ready for those bigger SEC games with Ole Miss and Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama coming to town over the next couple of weeks.
Good stuff, Sam. How can our listeners follow you online?
Yeah, we're at Tiger Details, and that's at tigerdetails.com, lsu.rivals.com, and give me a follow on Twitter, at Sam Speaks, SamSpiegs.
Good stuff, Sam. Looking forward to a fun night in Tiger Stadium Saturday night.
Likewise, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sam Spiegelman, TigerDetails.com. Those guys do a phenomenal job down there. I know Jimmy Smith has teamed up with Sam to run the LSU Rivals site. They started up right before the season. Another good friend of ours, Jarrett Roser, is assisting those guys as well. They do a really good job. You can follow those guys on Twitter or go to their site if you're looking for your LSU coverage leading up to the matchup with Louisiana Tech. When we come back after the break, we'll dive deep into the matchup between Louisiana Tech and LSU. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Fall brings all kinds of fun activities to the area, and the best way to enjoy them is with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts. Whether it's tailgating at your favorite high school or college game, driving around the neighborhood with the family, or just spending time in good fall weather, an Easy Go multi-passenger vehicle is perfect. Fairway Carts has a great selection now with new 2019 models coming in. So visit the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
Wake up!
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Louisiana Tech and LSU this weekend, Beck. If I look at our text line, I'm not even sure why the Dogs are headed down there.
Right. Well, let's talk about that, Ben, because we get pretty frustrated at Tech fans.
No, let me tell you something. This is one of my biggest pet peeves. So, 2 weeks ago, Tech beat South Alabama 30-26, and you enter the Sports Talk 97.7 studios, and you're like
I'm mad.
It's like your dog died.
Yep, sad and mad.
Yeah, like you act like we lost, and people on the Bleed Tech Blue message board, Tech's gonna lose by 100 to LSU, and all this stuff, and I'm just sitting there like, man, I haven't seen a team beat anyone by 100 in FBS football in quite some time.
Right.
So I'm like, golly. So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole, is LSU better than Tech? If you can't see that LSU's better than Tech, then you ain't watched football. The Tigers are more talented at probably 18 out of 22 positions on the field.
Right.
Pretty simple.
But
I'll be darned if Tech players don't get on that bus Friday afternoon to head to Baton Rouge and are talking the whole way, man, I can't wait to lose to these guys. I can't. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I hope they're not expecting to lose. Like, I'm a fan. I don't expect to lose. When I flip on ESPNU on Saturday night at 5:58, I expect to win.
Right. And it can happen.
Yeah.
It's not that far out of the question.
No.
A lot of things have to happen, which we'll talk
about. Things have to go perfectly for Tech to win. They have to turn LSU over. They have to limit the turnovers. They can't have penalties. They have to make some big plays in the passing game. Jamar Smith has to play one of the better games of his career. But let me tell you something. To go down there and expect to lose is just flat out just blows my mind.
Blows your mind, BC. You've been hot about it all week. And I'm gonna add a little sauce onto that.
Sauce me up.
Let's talk about some people would call it a sensitive show. I don't feel like it's sensitive. You obviously don't feel like it's sensitive. But this North Louisiana fan base, it's like, oh, I went to Tech, but I grew up watching LSU my whole life.
You went there.
I couldn't help it.
Back.
Ben, I mean, are you even able to talk about it?
I can't.
You can't talk about it?
No, nothing makes me more mad than a person. I'm not even going to say, like, I have plenty
because
of friends.
Because we got that.
I have plenty of friends that graduated from LSU and love LSU.
I'm fine with that.
And I love those people.
Right.
Great people. But if you didn't go to LSU, if you went to Tech especially, and you pull for LSU on Saturdays, I don't have a whole lot of words for you.
Get out of your face, is what you're saying.
If it's Tell the Truth Monday, then you need to tell me that you didn't graduate from LSU, but you're pulling for the Tigers. Hold that Tiger.
And
no.
My favorite.
If you graduated from Tech, you better be pulling for the Dogs. And I know that most of them would.
My favorite rebuttal to that is, well, it's all in the same state. I just want Louisiana get out
of
here.
Oh, you remind me of my grandma. My grandma always said, I'm pulling for LSU as long as they're not playing for Tech. And I'm like, well, grandma, I'm not. That's all I got to say to her. But I have respect for LSU. They're a great program. But I'm not going into this game expecting Tech to lose. Let's go to the Fairway Carts hotline, where we are joined by Robbie in Chalmette. How you doing tonight, Robbie?
Hey, what do you say? This is Robbie in Chalmette. How we doing, guys? What's happening?
Pretty good. How you doing? What you got on your mind tonight?
Hey man, I'll tell you what. I got $100 on the Bulldogs to cover that 20 points now.
Woo!
I watched them go to Arkansas. I watched them lose by 1 point on some bullshit holding calls. And I watched them lose to South Carolina. I missed call, but I tell you what, you don't want to catch the Tigers coming off a big win at Auburn. They're looking forward to Mississippi State. You don't want to catch the Dogs and the Skipper and J-Mar coming in. You don't want to let us hang around early, I tell you that.
How about the Dogs, baby?
You don't want to let us hang around early.
Robbie, you my new best friend.
This Robbie and Sean Matt. Hey, I love the show, guys. Y'all keep it real.
Hey, he keeps it real.
Hey, that's my kind of guy right there, BC. Woo! We need more of them.
Beck, I'm fired up now. Let's look
at
this game.
Did you say everything you needed to say about Tech fans?
Yeah. Let's look at this one. You look at the matchup between Louisiana Tech and LSU. What are your expectations for this
game? You want to know my expectations?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I think it goes – I'm going to split them. It goes one or two ways. Pretty simple. If Tech turns the ball over, blowout.
Yep.
If they don't, I think anything could happen.
Hey,
I don't think it's going to be a blowout like you said earlier.
I think for sure this game's going to be tight at the half.
Yeah.
Call
I mean,
crazy.
It was a couple years ago when I went down to tour LSU to see if I wanted to go there. Tech was tied 14-14 at half. I said, shoot, I'm going to Tech. I don't need LSU.
Call me crazy, but this one will be tight at the half. There ain't no doubt in my mind about that. But I think that, you know, what does J-Mar Smith need to do at quarterback? And
let me ask you that
question.
Hold
on. We got a call on the Fairway Carts hotline. We're joined by Ben. What you got for us tonight, Ben?
Well, guys, you know, I heard y'all talk a little bit about, you know, the fans and how some of them, you know, they're LSU fans even if they went to Tech. You know, when you get in a work environment and all these people that are here in Louisiana, they're fed LSU and they get LSU, and they work with all these people. When you stand out like that, you're ostracized. I'm telling you, because I went through it because I didn't care. You know, I was in a position where the job I had that I didn't have to depend on the relationships as much as the position. So I didn't care, but I watched it, and I even saw a friend of mine that I've known since 1970. Her son just had a baby, and her wife won't have anything to do with her. And has blocked her because she's defended Tech and is a Tech fan. So I'm telling you, it's hard to be a Tech fan here when you're covered in, you know, and it wouldn't be so bad if they went to LSU. I got no problem
with I'm with you.
You know, so, but hey, it is what it is. And so just wear your blue. And it's, you know, as far as the other thing, I'm the one to believe in use all your bullets you got when you get in games where you want to win.
I think we're going to see it.
I'm darned if I wouldn't play Smoke. He can get you at least two 20-yard-plus plays, and that can get you in a tight game. That can win a game for you. And what happens if things happen you never see in life. You need to take advantage of what you got in front of you right now. And if you got him here and he's playing for you right now, you need to put him on the field. Now, I understand he's still got a lot to learn, but I'm telling you, God, that kid is elusive, and I would love to have him return in punts. And I know the kick return and is the return teams are a whole question, and that brings up another thing about our new coach, Mr. Link. But that we'll talk about it at the end of the season when I give him the season grade. But I'm telling you, you need to put him on the field a couple of times.
Hey,
and I'll let y'all go ahead and discuss it. I've talked too much. I'll run over the show.
No, you're great, Ben. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We agree with you, man. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Back.
Ben.
Beck, we got a text on the Ferry Cars hotline. Christy Brinkley, I can't even get her name right because she's a nobody in this world, will date me before Tech beats LSU Saturday night. Well, Matthew.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, me neither, Matthew. Good call, though.
All right, before we get to break, we got 5 minutes, Ben.
Yeah, we do.
Before we get to
I need to know this. I need to ask you this question.
Okay, ask me.
What are your expectations for J'Mar Smith? Can he win the Heisman Trophy Saturday night? Because
no.
I know you want him to.
No, I do want him to. I hope I'm super wrong about this. I'm just wondering what it's going to take. I'm going to answer your question with another question. J'Mar can't turn the ball over, which he doesn't typically have a huge problem with except that first game, but you say two of those three interceptions weren't his fault.
Yeah,
so
I'm right.
I'm just legitimately concerned at what is going to move the ball against LSU's defense. And if Tech can figure that out, I'm terrified of a bunch of three and outs, if I'm being honest.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's an unrealistic expectation, but I also think that when you look at this game, if I'm Skip Holtz and what I think Louisiana Tech's going to do, you're going to call me crazy because LSU has such a great defensive line.
Throw it down the field.
I think Tech's going to spread them out five wides, and you're going to see guys like Teddy Veal, Rashid Bonnet, Adrian Hardy. LSU has great cornerbacks. They have great nickelbacks. They have great players all over the field. I'm not an idiot. But if you're in man coverage as a wide receiver, you're expected to win. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Like, if you can't win in man coverage,
that's why teams continually throw it.
Yes.
That, in man cover. They don't even look at the progressions. You got man, I'm throwing it.
Beck, do you remember back to 2015 when Tech went on the road to Starkville?
Yep.
And they were up 14-0, and I ain't even taken a sip of my Sprite yet.
Right.
Now, that Mississippi State team had Dak Prescott.
Right.
And they roared back. But this LSU team doesn't have Dak Prescott.
You think Burroughs is more of a protector than a go-getter.
Yeah, he's more of a game manager, and that's not anything against Joe Burrow. But if you get LSU behind in early and you make them go away from that run game.
And you stop the really big play like we saw Saturday night.
Who knows what can happen? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not picking Tech to win. I'm saying if Tech is going to have an opportunity to win this football game, they have to get an early lead.
Oh, I think there's no question that a bunch of things have to happen.
Tech cannot turn the football over.
Right. Can't do it.
Let me tell you this. J'Mar Smith was in the press conference today.
Yeah,
and I asked J'Mar Smith straight up. I said, what is the biggest difference between the 2017 offense and the 2018 offense through two games?
What'd he say, Ben?
He said, we are communicating as a unit better with one another, both on and off the field.
Right.
Now, you like to question his leadership.
I absolutely do.
That's pretty dang encouraging.
But it's coming from him.
Okay, so what?
I'd rather hear that from Teddy Veal or Rashid Bonnet.
Okay, well, you want me to call him?
Call him. Text him.
Because, listen, the offense.
No, I
get it. They turned it over three times at South Alabama, but you put up 460 yards, and then you put up 613 on Southern's band. You're doing something right. So I'm encouraged. I'm not going into this game saying, oh, Lordy mercy, here comes LSU. They're about to hold Tech to 200 total yards and 3 points. I don't see it happening.
Right.
Do you?
No.
Let's go ahead and get to a timeout. And when we come back, I need to talk about some more about this game.
Yep.
You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
At First National Bank, part of being the Uncommon Bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, F&B will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh, it might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad. But we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's the sports company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, 97.7.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Car Top Line, 888-993-7762.
Why is it that people take you out of context so easily? Why?
I don't know, Ben. It's just the world we live in. You can't
say
anything.
We have a text on the hotline from Anthony, and Anthony's a loyal listener. And he said, Louisiana Tech barely beat South Alabama while LSU handled one top 10 team and beat another. LSU will dominate this entire game. And I'd be honest with him, like, you look at it on paper, you might be right. If you look at it on paper, you know, a lot of things wouldn't happen in college football that we see happen on a weekly basis. But good thing is, you can't compare Louisiana Tech and South Alabama to LSU and Miami, because it ain't apples to apples. Tech was playing in front of 8 fans at Ladd Peoples Stadium against a team that they didn't care for. Like, you can't get hyped to play South Alabama. You don't think that Tech's, 45, 50 guys from the state of Louisiana aren't going to have a little more juice? Yeah. I'm sure the same people said that in 2009 when Tech was 3-6 and went down to Baton Rouge and lost by 8. And dominated the entire football game from a statistical standpoint. The entire football game. You cannot judge a game by playing it on paper. I play the role of armchair quarterback. God knows Beck does. But God also knows that I only played football until 7th grade, and I don't know what the heck I'm talking about when I'm reviewing some plays live on the field. That's why we let the experts review the film and try to execute a game plan on Saturday.
But you love the Pro Football Focus stats.
Yeah, I do love Pro Football Focus. And you
that's
don't.
Looking at the paper.
Yeah.
Not that I don't love it. I just don't geek out about it like you do. Which
and
I'm glad
Anthony
you do.
Anthony says La Tech also has a history of choking in big games. Look at all sports when they get to conference title games. Well, let's look at LSU against Troy. Like, we can play that game all year. Tech lost to Northwestern. LSU lost to Troy. Like, that has nothing to do with this matchup. Tech doesn't have to be better than LSU for 365 days a year. They need one.
You watch Little Giants?
And I'm not even saying Tech's going to win. As a matter of fact, Tech might lose by 3 touchdowns. But it's important to keep in context that Tech's not going to get beat by 100 points. They're not going to get run out of the building. They're just not. Call me crazy.
We got another text, Ben, from Greg.
Let's hear it.
He said, I have mustard seed faith in my dogs. I don't even want to read the rest of it.
But unless
Henderson, Taylor, and my boy, Ryan Higgins, come out of the tunnel, I'm not confident in a win.
Well, Greg, I love you. But them three.
Do you, Ben? Do you?
Them three ain't walking through that tunnel.
I think we can both agree, and we'll just say it and get it out of the way. It could happen. It's not even that far out of the realm of possibility.
You're going to get blown
up. Will
it
happen?
All right, let me ask you this.
Will Tech win?
Probably not.
Probably not. But could it happen? Of course, yes.
Let me ask you this. If Tech wins this game, is it the biggest win in program history?
I'm going to say without a doubt, yes.
Without a doubt?
Yep.
It changes the entire landscape across the state of Louisiana from a recruiting standpoint.
Mainly because people... fans, and especially me, are going to use that argument until we play them again.
Yes, and
I'm going to run so far with it. It's going to be unreal. No one's going to want to talk to me that even has the slightest affection for LSU because I'm going to remind them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's the biggest win in program history because when you look at the college football landscape, recruiting is like 70% of the battle.
Right.
If you have kids won over and they're like, dang, right now every kid in the state of Louisiana is like, dang, I wonder if LSU won tonight. I wonder what LSU's going to do this season. Say Tech pulls an upset. Then they're going to say, maybe I should follow my boy Amik Robertson and Rustin.
Right. Right.
This will be the biggest win in Tech's history. Bigger than Alabama in 99. Were you alive?
I was just an 8-year-old, but I was alive.
Well, anyway.
Well, just a last year at the bowl game, didn't a kid commit right after the bowl game, right after
yes,
the dog
Connor
just
Taylor.
Smacked the SMU Mustangs? That matters. Big program signature wins matter.
I agree.
Could it happen, Ben?
Yeah.
It could happen.
Man. Anyways.
It could happen.
You look at this matchup real quick. We'll run down our tidbits. LSU. LSU will play without John Battle in the first half due to a helmet-to-helmet hit against Auburn. I think Todd Harris is expected to play in his place. LSU brought more than four rushers only one time against Auburn. That speaks to how good their defense is. We talked a little bit about Grant Delpit's play at safety with Sam Spiegelman. Many consider him the MVP of the Tigers' defense. He's been phenomenal. He plays all over the field. He'll play safety. He'll play the slot. I'm sure Teddy Veal will see a lot of him. But name me LSU's top offensive weapons.
You ready?
Yeah. Bet you can't name four. Go.
Well, I know who's supposed to be one, but who ain't.
Who?
Giles.
Oh, speaking of John Giles.
You are excited to talk about this.
Jonathan Giles, 3 catches in 3 games. Listen, I get it. The kid was a stud at Texas Tech. Like 1,300 yards and 13 touchdowns. He ain't been watching college football.
Yeah, why do you go to LSU?
I don't know. And if you have an argument against that, I don't want to hear from you. Because you don't put up big numbers at receiver unless you're Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. So LSU hasn't had a competent quarterback that can literally beat you with his arm since Zach Bettenberger. Tell me why I'm wrong. Anyways, I feel for John Giles. I do.
I can't name anybody else, Ben. I'm just
I know.
I can't.
Yeah, I know. LSU's the first team since 1976 to beat 2 top 10 teams in the first 3 weeks. Joe Burrow is the only quarterback in FBS to have 2 top 10 wins this season. But Joe Burrow also has the lowest completion percentage.
Well, here's the deal. I don't think Miami should have been number 8 or whatever they were when the Tigers played them week 1. They were terrible.
No, they beat Savannah State 77-0.
You could have beat – you and your daughter Peyton could have beat Savannah State.
Yeah. You're right.
I'm just saying. That's a stat. You're right. It's a stat, but I think Miami was way over
– people can't stand me for all my stats. But guess what? We have a text on the text line. To advance our recruit our program in recruiting, a win at LSU means more than pass wins.
Absolutely.
Do we use our fullback as a fullback and a receiver? I assume he's referring to Bobby Holly. I think you'll see Bobby Holly in this game. I think Tech's gonna. You're not running to the edge on LSU. You're not doing it. I don't care. They got too much team speed. I think when Tech wants to run the football with Jaquiz Dancy or Israel Tucker or maybe even Justin Henderson, they're going to have to run some power football, and that's how you're going to have to do it. You're not beating them to the edge. Heck, Auburn couldn't beat them to the edge. Anyways, enough with the LSU, because I'm about to have to head to the doctor with high blood pressure. Looking at Conference USA.
Ben, you absolutely gave it to Conference USA.
Yeah, they were the worst conference in America, but they bounced back in week three. North Texas 44, Arkansas 17. The Hogs didn't deserve to be on the same field as North Texas. Did you see that sick punt return?
I saw it.
That's pretty sick. UAB knocks off the Green Wave from Tulane 31-24. Florida Atlantic 49, Bethune-Cookman 28. Interesting that Cookman got 28 in that one. FIU destroys Massachusetts 63-24. Georgia thumps Middle Tennessee 49-7. The Bulldogs look poised to beat LSU in a few weeks. Tennessee 24, UTEP 0. The Miners will not win a game. Kansas State 41, UTSA 17. Frank Wilson continues to struggle. On Thursday, in Conference USA action, in the pillow fight of the week, Charlotte knocked Old Dominion off the bed 28-25. Marshall at South Carolina and Southern Miss at Appalachian State were canceled due to Hurricane Florence. Looking ahead to this week in Conference USA action, Friday night, another big opportunity for the conference as the Fighting Lane Kiffins travel to Central Florida in a big matchup on ESPN. Western Kentucky, yeah, they want to win a game. Mike Sanford still deserves to be fired. They travel to Ball State. This might do it for him if they lose. Charlotte at UMass. Man, Charlotte might win their third game of the year. FIU travels to that daunting Miami squad. Bet that game's pretty close.
Maybe.
Yeah, LSU fans would disagree. Virginia Tech at Old Dominion. Virginia Tech will crush them. North Texas in maybe a little bit of a trap game at Liberty. They'll start Conference USA play next week when they host Louisiana Tech. We've mentioned it all show. The Bulldogs travel to 6th-ranked LSU. Kickoff set for 6 p.m. Big game in Huntington, West Virginia. Marshall will host NC State. Texas State travels to UTSA. Man, Frank Wilson better be careful on that one. Texas State, one of the worst teams in the country. New Mexico State at UTEP. UTEP won't win. And then in my sleeper game of the week, Rice at Southern Miss. How about the dumpster fire in Hattiesburg? I don't know if you saw it today. Not only after they lost to ULM, great win for the Warhawks, they reinstate their quarterback who had been suspended indefinitely.
Yeah. You've had a great time with this whole situation.
He randomly comes back after two games when they realize Abraham's not the answer. Then today, senior running back Tyrod Daniels, second leading rusher, says, deuces, I'm out.
No way.
I'm transferring. A senior says he's going to take a red shirt, transfer elsewhere. And Beck, I don't know if you noticed, but Tom Fornelli of CBS Sports now has Conference USA moving up the totem pole. They're ahead of the MAC.
That's big news.
Huge. Woo! Hopefully the league can keep it going. I'm really paying attention to that UCF, Florida Atlantic, that Marshall, NC State.
Well, heck, maybe Tech can do their part in representing Conference USA this weekend.
Well,
wouldn't that be something?
Well, it would be. I would love to see it. It's going to be tight at the half.
I agree with that.
Anthony tells us that if Tech keeps it within 35 and holds LSU to below 450 yards, it'll be a win. LSU has not put up neither one of those numbers through
right.
3 weeks.
It ain't going to happen Saturday
And they
night.
Played Southeastern. Baffling.
Unbelievable.
Baffling. Anyways, let's go ahead. Let's get to our final timeout. When we come back from the break, we're going to make our score predictions. We're going to make some bold predictions. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Jeep Adventure Days are here at the all-new Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Take on some new adventures in Jeep, the ultimate in off-road SUVs. And now save big on the entire Jeep lineup. Save $7,000 on the 18 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Save $3,000 on the 18 Jeep Wrangler 4-door. Get a 19 Jeep Cherokee Latitude for only $20,900 and save $9,000 on the 18 Chrysler 300. Don't miss Jeep Adventure Days at the all-new Brennan Dodge, 1301 North Service Road, Ruston.
Fall is coming, so you should be coming to Fairway Carts in Minden.
Why?
Well, Fairway Carts is the official headquarters for fall fun. That's because Fairway Carts has the easy go to make great fall weather even more enjoyable. From a multi-passenger cart for spending quality time with the family cruising the neighborhood, to a new easy go for getting around at tailgate parties or just getting off the beaten path, Fairway has a huge inventory of Easy Goes with the new 2019 models coming in and amazing deals on remaining 2018s. And hunters, listen closely. The all-new, all-electric Easy Go Express 4x4 is coming to Fairway Carts. It's the ultra-quiet, ultra-durable hunting vehicle you've waited years for. Fall is nice. Make it even better with a new Easy Go. Come to Fairway Carts in Minden today and try one on for size. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Wake up to local sports talk on The Morning Drive, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays, brought to you in part by Toyota of Ruston and Car King of Monroe on Sports Talk 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We wrap it up. One heck of a show tonight. We thank you for texting in to the Fairway Carts text line. As always, you can call us. You can text us, 888-993-7762. We love our Tiger fans. We love our Bulldog fans. And if Tech gets beat by 100 this week, I'll come in next week and I'll eat some crow. But guess what? It ain't happening.
All right, let me ask you some questions. The people got to know, Ben. They're asking.
Let's hear it.
Do you see any possible mismatches to Tech's advantage?
Quarterback
against LSU's defense.
Tech's quarterback's way better than LSU's
defense.
Right, I digress.
Right, come on.
All right,
you're losing credibility.
All right, finish the question.
Do you see any possible mismatches to Tech's advantage against LSU's defense? If so, where?
I'm not sure that I see an advantage for Tech, but I will say the one advantage that Tech might have will be Teddy Veal lined up in the slot. And the reason I say that is, Your two best corners, Greedy Williams and Christian Fulton, are going to be on the outside. I know I mentioned that Grant Delpit's going to be on Veal on the inside, but let's be honest. Teddy Veal's going to be, at the very least, in an NFL training camp next year.
And your favorite stat is Jamar over the middle.
Yeah.
So you're saying
I think
you're looking for Teddy Veal to
– I think this is a game where Teddy's going to have 8 or 10 catches.
Okay.
I think so.
All right, and then two-part –
I do.
Two-part question to piggyback on that. Do you think Tech will have more success with the pass or the run?
Without a doubt, the pass.
Yeah, you said it earlier in the show.
Without a doubt. I don't think you can run it straight at this LSU defense because of what Dave Aranda can – like, he's so good schematically. And LSU's big up front with Braden Fajico. Rashard Lawrence, Michael Divinity.
So what do you tell Dancy as a coach?
No, I think you got to give them the carries. I mean, you can't have them pinning their ears back,
right,
and rushing you with complete disregard for the run. But you have to hope that a guy like Dancy or Tucker can break one, you know, 25, 30-yard run. You know, if you get a couple of those, you can work with it. I think you're going to have to see Jamar work his game in the run game some. I think you're going to see some read option where he's going to have to make some plays in the run game. He's going to have to get outside the pocket on some throws. I get it. LSU's defensive line is fast. But if Tech's going to have an opportunity to win this game, what do you think Jamar's stat line will have to look like?
It's just basically what you said. It's gonna have to be, it's gonna be those short slot passes.
Yeah, and it's gonna
be what, 14 of 20 for whatever. And it's gonna have to be some after the catch stuff.
Yeah, I think if Tech wins this game, I think they gotta throw it. I don't know. They're, 40
Tech and
times.
LSU are honestly in a. You think 40 times?
Yeah, I think you're gonna. Have to
they're honestly in a similar situation. Like. As far as the quarterback deal.
Yeah, no, they are.
I mean, Jamar can air it out. Yeah. Jamar can – he's got a better arm than Joe does.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Your
really
first
do.
Name basis with
Burrow. I'm first name basis with him. But, I mean, it may be an efficiency game. You're saying he may throw 40 times.
I think he's going to need to throw 40 times and complete 28 to 30 of those throws. I know 75% against LSU is pretty tough, but if you're hitting 6- and 7-yard routes.
Yeah, they got to be high-percentage routes. You can't.
Yeah, and – granted, you got to take your shots over the top.
Right.
And LSU's going to take their shots. I know Orgeron said in his press conference, they try to take two shots a quarter. I think if Tech's going to have an opportunity to win, you're going to have to see Jamar, I don't know, 325 to 350 yards, three touchdowns. He can't turn it over. And then we see what we got. And I think when you look at the defensive side of things for Tech, I think that – I'm not going to say you have to pack the box with eight guys, but you got to have everyone accounted for. LSU's going to want to run it early. They're going to want to get Brossette going. He had, you know, one of his not his better games against Auburn. They're going to try to get him and Edwards-Helaire rolling, and then they're going to try to set up Burrow to beat you over the top, whether it's to Giles or D. Right. Anderson or Derek Dillon, Stephen Sullivan. I think you have to – you have to stop the run first, and you have to trust that your corners can make plays, you know, in man coverage. And I think Amik Robertson can do that. I think Legarius Sneed can do that. Now, does Tech have a third corner? Does Tech have a third corner that can cover?
I don't know.
Russell said, what are you doing smoking? Tech is not that good against LSU.
This is for sure.
I'm not sure what he's referring to.
Yeah, right. But this is for sure, like, hey, Tech absolutely has to do these things to be in the game.
Yeah.
We're not saying that, oh, Tech will be fine against so-and-so and their defense and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, no, if this is going to be a close game and Tech's going to have a shot to win, it has to be some darn near perfect
play. Oh, it has to be the perfect game.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. So first two games of the season, not super stiff competition, even though we had a close South Alabama game. Do you think do you think it's going to be a lot more of what Tech has already been doing to try to, as far as offensively in the game plan, or do you think we're going to see a total different approach?
You will not see a total different approach. I think you'll see a lot. There'll be some wrinkles in this game plan. I can't wait to see what type of wrinkles. I think when you look at these first two games, what does Teddy Ville have, 8 catches? I keep going back to him. We look at a year ago when Tech played – on the road, SEC environment, I get it. South Carolina's not LSU, I get it. But they featured Veal in that passing game. I think that's a lot of what you'll see. LSU's going to play a ton of man coverage. They always do. So I think that's going to give Veal an opportunity, like I said, to get 8 to 10 catches. I think defense-wise, Blake Baker hasn't shown anything. I can promise you, from what I've seen, he hasn't shown anything from a blitz package. Against the blitz this season, you'll know what Joe Burrow is.
What?
2 out of 19.
That's not good, Ben.
Ain't going to cut it. But anyways, 42 to 10, I guess, is what people are saying. Let's get to our score prediction. What you got for Saturday?
I think I'm gonna be optimistic. I think it's gonna have to come from the defense too. I'm pretty boldly calling Amik is gonna score.
I love it.
I really am. I think Amik plays better in big games. We saw it at Mississippi State. He got burned, and then the next play, after play.
Yeah, he's a big game player.
He's a big game player. So I'm looking for a big time out of him. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 27-17 LSU.
Oh. Tabor, what you got?
34-13 LSU.
See, Tabor hit my prediction on the head. When I walked in tonight, I said 34-13 LSU. I think it could be 38-13, somewhere in there. But I think at the half, you're looking at, I don't know, 16-10. With Tech getting the ball coming out of the half, I think it's going to be tighter than the experts think. I'm going to say final, just so I don't go with the same number as Tabes, I'm going to say 34-17.
I'm writing it down.
I'm
not going to be surprised if it's worse than that or if it's better than that.
No. But
because
I think if it's worse than that, Tech's going to have obviously turned the ball over
right
2, 3, 4 times. But people, man, this was a fun show tonight. And if you think LSU's going to blow out Tech and they blow them out next week, I want you to call
me. We'll both come in here.
No, I want you to call this show next week and let me have it. But I'd be willing to bet I ain't going to get a call because it ain't going to happen. So I say 34-17. Tape's got 34-13. Beck's got 27-17. Great show tonight, Beck. I hope you have a fun time in Baton Rouge. I hope Tech wins. I expect Tech to win. But I go into every game expecting a win.
It's because you bleed Tech blue, BC.
That's right. And after Tech wins, I hope you get beer poured on you.
I probably will, and I won't be able to text you about it because you don't get no service
in
a stadium with 100,000 people.
That's right. You think they'll have 100,000?
I doubt it.
I bet the place will clear out at halftime if I know anything about LSU fans. Anyways, great show tonight. We'll be back next week recapping LSU. Previewing Tech's Conference USA opener against North Texas.
If you want some last-minute info on the game, Ben, how can they get it?
Join us, BleedTechBlue.com, only $9.95 a month. We have an offer currently. Use the promo code BTB. You can not only get it for $9.95 a month, but you can get 3 additional months for free. That's 4 months for an average of $2.50.
You can find that in your couch every day.
That'll carry you through the football season. Join us, BleedTechBlue.com. For Beck Haynes, our great producer, John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Could you see whether it's yourself or, you know, even current players who are on the executive committee as you were, maybe reaching out and talking with Eric Dickerson and these Hall of Famers about, you know, maybe expanding what they're talking about?
But to be fair, Chris, we should mention that he did mention in that original letter that health care and stuff for all players. So it was mentioned. It wasn't like he didn't say that.
Listen, I like ED. I really do. We play golf today. He's a good guy. He's thoughtful. I just think it was a little misguided in the way they went about it. I wish they had reached out to some guys who've been in the meetings, who've been in the battles, you know, and said, okay, this is probably the best way to go forward with that.
Jay, do you see – so are you saying that you don't think it's financially feasible to give players health care for a lifetime?
Where are you going to find $2 billion?
Easy. The league has $14 billion in revenue. How about the owners taking less? How